Strother case. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Shelley James. I'm the attorney for Shannon Strother in this termination of parental rights case. Mr. Strother was, from the offset of this case, in a difficult position. He had a very limited relationship with the mother of this child, Ms. Campbell. She became pregnant. He was incarcerated and did not even find out that he was a father until after he was incarcerated. The child was born in December of 2015. At that point, he had spent about half a year incarcerated. The mother in this case clearly was unfit. Her parental rights were terminated, and she did not appeal that decision. My client, however, felt that he wanted to take on the responsibility of fatherhood. He already had another child, and he was willing to step up to the plate. Unfortunately, the Department of Social Services in Harrisonburg felt otherwise. He was not given any chance to become involved in this child's life. No visitation was set up for him. No contact was set up for him in any way, shape, or form with this child, who was under the legal control of the Department of Social Services. He was not offered any services himself. He was incarcerated, and the evidence was that he attempted to sign up for classes himself, but the clear evidence is the Department of Social Services simply asked him if he had any relatives who might be willing to take the child. His mother, who at the time was taking care of his son, felt that she could not. There was, I believe, a sister who looked into it at one point, but decided that she was not in a position. The code requires that the judge find two separate things in this case, and those two things cannot be merged together, and the judge needs to find those two things by clear and convincing evidence. Though they're listed in the opposite way in the statute, I think it's more informative to first consider subsection C2, which is that the parent was, without good cause, unable to remedy the conditions that led to a child coming into foster care or that kept a child in foster care. In this case, before this child was even born, my client was incarcerated, and he could not get out until January of this year. He is now out. We would argue that that is with good cause. In addition, the department is supposed to provide services within the first 12 months, and no services were provided here. They made no attempt to work with jail personnel to get my client services. They didn't suggest any online services to my client. The testimony was that he had been on probation. He had been cooperative with probation and the services offered there. He, of course, had missteps. He had a dirty urine screen at one point, and he ended up with a new drug conviction before this child was born. But the evidence was also that he was never even offered any drug counseling services prior to being incarcerated, prior to this child's birth. Certainly not after this child's birth, not by anyone from social services or really from anywhere else. The judge found that he was unable to comply with the norms of society or language to that effect. But that is not what the code requires him to find. The code requires him to find that in the 12 months after this child comes into foster care, he's been unable, without good cause, to remedy those conditions. He could not remedy those conditions. There was no way. No one was going to let him out of jail. There was no get out of jail free card. And so the condition of sub C was not met in this case. In addition, it certainly wasn't met by clear and convincing evidence. In addition, the court also had to find that this was in the best interests of this child, and had to find that by clear and convincing evidence. There was evidence presented that this child is doing fine in foster care. He's living in foster care with two half-siblings and acting like a regular toddler, I believe is what the record reflects. That doesn't prove, by clear and convincing evidence, that it is in this child's best interests to be a legal stranger from her biological father. There is no evidence that putting off terminating parental rights and giving my client an opportunity to get to know his child, to work some services, and have the child come back into his care could not have been done. Both the judge and the Department of Social Services used some buzzwords in this case. They talked about how a child needs permanency and stability. These have become totems in foster care cases. Children must have stabilities. Children must have permanency. This is a child who at the time was 2 years old. What did this child know about stability or permanency? And what was going to change if the parental rights were not terminated? Absolutely nothing. Other than my client would still have a right to know what was going on with his child and would still have a right once he got out to try and bring that child into his care. We don't know if that would have worked or not because he wasn't given that opportunity. We hope that your honors will reverse and remand this conviction so that, or this conviction, this finding so that he can be given that opportunity. There is no evidence that this will harm anything as far as permanency or stability. There is no evidence that impermanency or instability, whatever those terms mean, is detrimental or not in the best interests of these children, of this child. There is no evidence, no clear and convincing evidence that it was in this child's best interests to terminate her father's parental rights. The court simply found he was incarcerated, and so the parental rights were terminated. And the Harris case from 1982 clearly says that that is not sufficient. Though the court maybe used some other words here, there is no evidence to support those findings. There is no evidence that there were any services given. There's no evidence that my client failed to act without good cause. And there's no evidence that this was in this child's best interests. If you have any questions.
No, thank you. We'll come down and recount. Thank you.